We are back here on the game. If anything goes down to the wire, we'll try and bring you the audio of the TV call of that. So if you are still at work, driving around, whatever it is, try and keep you from missing any of March Madness. Nothing really in territory of that happening right now. 68-56, Florida leading East Tennessee. Otherwise, you got games at halftime. The night games coming up. We'll get you caught up on the schedule coming up tonight at 5:25 and around college basketball. We are going to have Cole Manbeck on again today at 5:10 because he has legitimately scouted Cincinnati with all the games he has watched of them throughout the year. You know, I thought that was interesting that Dan Hoard, the Cincinnati play-by-play voice who joined us in the first segment, if you missed any of that, check it out on the podcast page, newsradiokman.com and the on-demand tab, that he, I guess, is not buying, and maybe Cincinnati is not buying, that it's a disadvantage to them to have to play one of these play-in winners. To me, I really do think, like, if I were a Cincinnati fan and I was looking at this from a Cincinnati perspective, I guess if I'm Mick Cronin, the coach, maybe I don't say anything publicly because you don't want to portray in the media that you're worried about that, but you think about the fact that they did get shipped 2,000-plus miles out to Sacramento. They were a six seed with 29 wins. Now, they have one less, in fact, a top 50 RPI win than K-State does, so that's a part of it. Their schedule was not great playing in the American Conference, and they're a little overinflated because of that. But most projections I saw had them as a five, so they're slightly underseeded. They get shipped 2,000 miles. They have to play a play-in winner, and that play-in winner goes Tuesday, Friday instead of what we typically think of Tuesday, Thursday. So it takes away some of the disadvantage of having already played a game. You know, I would be upset if I were them. You're looking at it like a 50% shot. You're flipping a coin here that the play-in winner is going to be that team that goes on to the round of 32, because six straight years we've seen it happen, and it's been one of the two that's not a 16 seed. I would view it, if I were a Cincinnati fan, that we got dealt a bad hand here.
Well, and it's not like you can totally say that it's just a generic play-in winner that you're facing. It happens to be a play-in winner that is probably playing its best basketball of the season over the last five games. I think you could make that case for K-State. So it's a hot play-in winner. It's not a team that barely, you know, snuck into the tournament and got the benefit of the doubt from the committee with that play-in game and found a way to win it. I think that K-State has a lot of confidence right now. They believe that they're the better team, and I would say that it is an advantage for the Wildcats more than a disadvantage.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you said it was the best that the team's played since they won the Big 12 championship. So.
The toughest that they've played. I mean, just the mentality that they seem to have and the way that they're actually, you know, with the exception to West Virginia, they've been closing games and looking like not playing the victim card as much, basically what I'm saying.
Don't forget the Marcus Foster team. I mean, the freshman year Marcus Foster team, they had some big wins. There was some good basketball played that year, too. So, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at all the stretches that they had in that season, but they had some big wins. Heck, even the next team had some big wins. Mm-hmm. The problem was stringing together consistency. But I think it's great that they won the game. I had fun watching the game. I felt good for the guys that they beat Wake Forest and obviously are moving on. And it is fun to win in March. It is very fun to win in March. I think people are figuring that out, remembering that, because it had been a while since Kansas State had done it. Now, whether or not you actually, you know, consider this quote-unquote an NCAA tournament win, I don't think it really matters. You know, watching your team win a game like that, especially one that was played at a frenetic pace and pretty exciting with all the points that were scored, I think it's an easy reminder for people that, like, oh, yeah, this is fun, and this is why so much is built on what you do in March as opposed to what you do in the regular season. It's why I think Bruce Weber didn't get as much traction from his Big 12 championship season as he probably should have, because they lost the first game in March to LaSalle. This is the first taste of it that K-State fans have had in a while, and I think even if you were disenchanted by the future of the program, by the head coach, by where things had been up and down throughout the past couple of years, I think once you get a little taste of it, you are just back on board without even really being able to help it.
Yeah, I mean, I said yesterday that it's a complete surprise that I feel this excited about the NCAA tournament. I mean, the NCAA tournament, even if you're not in it, the first couple of days of it are still going to be fun to watch basketball. But I said yesterday to Mitch, I was starting to, like, look at Royals, like, spring training stats and starting to get into baseball mode a little bit. I was looking forward to getting out and watching more K-State baseball out at Toynton. I'm talking about 18 days ago after the loss to Oklahoma. And I didn't expect to have to put in this kind of effort to looking up, you know, stuff about Cincinnati and everything, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
Well, what I would say is there is a but to what I'm saying about winning in March being fun, and it was great to see them beat Wake Forest. I think the but there is it was an 11 seed in a play-in game, and Wake Forest was a team that was 6 and 9, and 15 and 12 overall at one point before they did string together some nice wins and play their best basketball, much like K-State, to put themselves in position in that play-in game. My point is, Wake Forest, I think you could tell by watching, is they're not a great team. That's a team that's probably about the caliber of a TCU or a Texas Tech that you beat there. That's maybe not fair because the ACC is potentially better than the Big 12, but somewhere on the same playing level. I mean, honestly, it's about like beating K-State is really what it is, as obvious as that sounds. So I just caution you to not ride too high on that. Now, while I think there's still a good chance that they could go out and beat Cincinnati, and they do have the advantage of playing a game already and playing loose and free, they're the underdog. There's a lot that K-State has working in its favor. But I would still not go too overboard on making too much of beating Wake Forest. That is one win, and it was a play-in game, and ideally you wouldn't want to even be playing that game in the first place.
It's not beating USC with O.J. Mello. It's
O.J. Mayo?
O.J. Mello. O.J. Mayo, yes. It's not beating Xavier in a double overtime game with Gus Johnson having the best call of his life. There's a difference there. But what I said yesterday is when you are starved for just some relevance in March, it is okay to enjoy that you are in the round of 64. And because of how the schedule plays out, the field's going to be down to 39 teams by the time K-State tips off again.
Does that really matter?
I'm just saying
you could have been playing today at 11.
No, right. But what I'm saying is, if you play today at 11 and lose, the next 36 hours are way less fun than getting to enjoy everything ahead first, and then you play at the very back end of it.
Okay, I mean that's fine if you want to talk about it, I guess, from an enjoyment standpoint, but from a, how much does that matter? I just you can't use, you were one of the last 39 teams left.
You're not going to put that up on a banner. Last 39th place, 2017. You're probably not going to put that up. But I'm going to be watching games tonight, very excited, because what happens tonight is stuff that I can, use to look at as potential matchups for K-State. That whole narrative. That's what watching Butler and Winthrop was about. It's part of K-State's region.
What? This is exactly what I'm talking about, man. Don't make too much about a win over Wake Forest.
You're in the tournament. I'm trying to caution people against. I'm not throwing any parade.
You gotta take it one game at a time. We need to be watching Cincinnati film. We need to be doing the Cole Manning hold up in a basement.
I don't.
Watching Cincinnati. Hey, fans gotta focus one game at a time as well.
I don't.
Fans need to focus in.
No, you do
not. They're not looking all the way down the road at playing Butler. Man, they'd have to play Butler in like the regional final, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I've had enough of Butler in regional finals for one. And for two, you have to get past UCLA and Kentucky to get there. You're going to beat Coach Cal and Lonzo Ball back-to-back?
I don't care, and I don't have to. I don't have to care. I'm just having fun.
I'm messing with you, man. You can do what you want. But in all seriousness, I guess that is a part of the message here. That's don't start zeroing in on UCLA and thinking, all right, can we beat Lonzo Ball? How is that going to happen? Like, Cincinnati will be a difficult out. That's yes. A solid team. You heard from Dan Hort. I mean, the big thing that they have going this year is that they are not just a defensive team that is going to only be able to slow the pace down and just really muddy the game up. They actually can score it a little bit this year as well. They KenPom, everyone wants to throw out the stat there about Cincinnati right now, that KenPom has them as the 10th best defensive efficiency team in the country. They're also 37th in offensive efficiency. So they're pretty good, really, on both sides of the basketball, so to speak, for the Bearcats. So, I'm playing both sides of the fence here in a way, because I think they're, if you just look statistically at the history of these playing games, you literally have a coin flip chance that K-State's going to win the game. But at the same time, it was just a win over Wake Forest. So, I think there is just cautious optimism is the right way to approach the situation and just, be happy that they are in the tournament playing a game.
Okay. I just want it understood that I'm also looking at it with cautious optimism. I'm not throwing any parades. It is way easier to enjoy the NCAA tournament when you have not yet been eliminated, in case State has not.
You had to make me think of the Butler game. Butler in a regional final.
Man.
Had to make me Think about that.
Hey, that is not Brad Stevens' team. That's a different Butler team.
This team, I'm trying to. What seed would that Butler team have been? This team's probably a higher seed, right? I think
that Butler team was
a 5.
I think that's right.
Because they knocked out number one. They knocked out number one, Syracuse.
A 6.
They knocked out they knock out the one seed. 4-5 ends up playing the one seed in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Butler was a 5 that year. They beat Syracuse and then played K-State. An impressive run there for them. Cole Maymack at 5'10". I was here Wyatt say on the network pregame. So-and-so's got the scout, whatever assistant got the scout. Cole has the scout on Cincinnati. Wanted to come and talk about the Bearcats, so we'll do that at 5'10". A lot of coaching news, including Indiana dropping the Tom Crean being fired news right as the tournament was tipping off today. Brilliant PR move. But Mizzou made a hire yesterday as well. How Missouri's hire could affect K-State next here on The Game.
Get in the game.
At Via Christi Hospital, nothing is more important than the health.